Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes his study on Romans chapter 6.
Welcome to the program today, and over the last 2 weeks, we've taken a little different course and did a verse-by-verse study through Romans chapter 6. On this last day of the study, I want to go back to something that was mentioned in verse 17, which focuses on the importance of doctrine or on the importance of what we believe. Primarily, this program is designed to teach doctrine, to teach Christian truth as found within the Scriptures. And so I want to discuss the importance of proper doctrine in relationship to sanctification. And in Romans 6, verse 17, Paul says this, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." And so here he speaks of people responding to the gospel, responding to the truth that was given to them. And there's actually a lot within this section that we need to search out from verse 17. Paul says that there was a form of doctrine. And this word form is the word mold. And basically, in the context, when we were born slaves of sin. That's the mold that we were poured into. Now that we received the gospel, that mold was broken. It died with Christ. And now we're refashioned and formed into a new mold after the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And so now we are no longer slaves of sin, but slaves to righteousness. That's the doctrine that we were delivered into, Paul says. It's so important to have proper doctrine because it affects the way a man lives. The proverb says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus also said in John 8:34 that the truth will set you free. And then also Paul in Romans 12, 1-3 said that we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So what we believe about this issue of sanctification, this issue of sin, will affect the way that we live. And Paul says this form of doctrine to which you were delivered. It's interesting, this phrase that Paul says, this form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Weiss gives a more accurate translation and translates it as into which you were delivered. So actually the wording of Paul is more like this. There's this form that we call doctrine, and then you were poured into that doctrine, and that doctrine molded your life. And that's why we're doing this program, because doctrine affects the way that you live. Doctrine affects your practice. If you have right doctrine, you'll have a right lifestyle. If you have wrong doctrine, you'll have a wrong lifestyle. And I believe that's the way the Bible is written, especially with the Apostle Paul. If you take a classic example of the book of Ephesians, in the first three chapters, he writes about doctrine. He writes about what salvation is, what you've received in Jesus Christ. It's not until chapter 4 that he actually tells you, here's how you live it out. He says, walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. And that calling is found in the first three chapters. In the first three chapters, you don't find any commands, any exhortations. It's just all doctrine. It's truth of what God has done for the believer. And then based on that, here's how we live it out. Actually, the same thing is found in the book of Romans. If you analyze the book, actually the first 11 chapters are filled with doctrine. There's some commands, but not many. But it's primarily doctrine, what the Lord's accomplished in salvation on our behalf. And then when he gets to chapter 12 through 16, then he starts applying it. And he says this in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service." Therefore, is based on all what God has done in the first 11 chapters. Then he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, that's reasonable. That's your reasonable service. And this word reasonable relates to our word logic. It's logical, all that the Lord's done, now for you to present your bodies as living sacrifices to God based on his mercies, not based on law, not based on a command, but because God's been so merciful to you, now you respond to that mercy. And that's why doctrine's important, because what you believe will affect the way that you practice, what you live out in the life of the church. And in relation to sanctification, in relation to Romans chapter 6, it's important for you to understand that Paul says in verse 6 that your old man was crucified with Christ, that we are no longer slaves to sin, the body of sin has been done away with. In verse 3 and 4, that we were united in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Now, if you don't understand that, and you're going to be battling with temptation, there's going to be four routes that you will take. First of all, there are some that are way off, and they teach, well, what you're experiencing when you're experiencing some desire, it's a demon. So because they believe that, they will cast demons out of people at their church services of people that are supposedly believers. But what happens after this demon's cast out? Well, they experience temptation, so now they need to come back to church and get another demon delivered out of them. That's errant in theology. Their theology is wrong. It's not a demon, it's sin that dwells in the body. And so their doctrine affects their practice. Also, there's other churches say, well, you just need to yield to the power of God. Just submit and resubmit. It's almost like a mystical experience. Just kind of set apart your will, set apart your mind, and open up to the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible never says that. What the Bible tells us in Romans 6, verse 11, is to affirm that we're dead to sin and alive to God. Then verse 12, therefore, don't let sin reign in your body. Verse 13, yield your members as instruments for righteousness. It relates to the mind, what you believe, then to the will. So it's not just this yieldedness. And that, I believe, is a trap. It's a subtle trap. It sounds spiritual, and it sounds good. And people will say, well, just let go and let God. And I believe that to be true to a point. But that's not what Paul says in Romans 6. He says, first affirm the truth to be true, then don't let sin reign your body. So the mind and the will are involved. And so it's not just yield. Because what happens when someone yields and they go out in life and they experience that same temptation? Oh, I got to yield a little more. And it's just like it's a works mentality. The more I yield, and it's more on me rather than on the fact that Christ broke the power of sin over my life. Or there's others that actually teach you can come to that place of complete freedom from the desire for sin. That the sin nature is 100% eradicated, because they take that phrase that our old man was crucified with him. You see, now what you just need to do is believe that and it'll happen. That's not what Paul says. Paul doesn't say by you believing it takes place. Paul says the old man was crucified. And the point is that not that you would no longer have any temptation or be free from the very presence of sin, but sin is no longer a master over your life. So you're free in that sense. The old man was crucified in that sense, that you would no longer be slaves of sin. So again, if you're taught wrong on these issues, it affects your practice. And what happens in churches like that? Well, you have people that think that they've arrived at the point where their sin nature is completely eradicated, and all that could do is produce pride. Well, I've experienced it. Why can't you? And the people that haven't experienced or come to that point, they feel condemned. What's wrong with me? I pray, I believe, I read the scriptures. And again, it's all self. It's all something that I have to do. Romans 6 tells us what's been done for us. And then the fourth way, which is probably also common in the church, what they say is, well, you need to crucify the old man. Paul, nowhere in Scripture, nor any teacher in the Scripture says crucify the old man. Romans 6, verse 6, says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. It was done for us on our behalf. And those that teach you have to crucify the old man basically teach you have two natures, and whoever's going to win is the one who gets fed the most. And again, there's truth to that, but that's not the truth found in Romans chapter 6. That's not the form of doctrine into which Paul's delivering these people into. What he says is sin no longer has power over life. We need to affirm that to be true. It's not a matter just of, well, whoever you feed the most. The truth is we need to affirm that sin doesn't have power over my life anymore. It's no longer my master. Jesus Christ is my master and Lord. But again, that teaching also brings me back to myself. Well, it's up to me to crucify the old man. We read the scripture. The Bible says the old man was crucified on our behalf when we died with Christ, when you united with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. So what you believe, whatever doctrine or mold you're being poured into, affects the way you practice and what you live out in relationship to sanctification. Jesus did say this, that a disciple will become like his teacher. So whatever you're being taught, that's the way you're going to live out. And that's why it's so important to understand proper doctrine, to have the truth. It's the truth that will set you free. And so it's important who you listen to, who you allow to teach you and your family or your children or yourself, that you make sure that you are getting doctrine. Now, I strongly believe that the Bible should be taught verse by verse, book by book. That's because every doctrine is going to be covered, every subject is going to be covered, and it's all going to be covered in the context in which it was delivered. And when the doctrine is taught properly, it's going to affect the way people live. It's going to equip people for the work of the ministry. Now, when you're just getting topicals all the time, you're not going to get doctrinal issues. Usually topical teachers stray away from heavy doctrinal portions of the Bible. So there's all these truths that you are not receiving, which are going to diminish, I believe, the power and effectiveness of your life. So it's extremely important to understand doctrine. I love what Jude verse 3 says. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you, contend earnestly for the faith, now look, which was once for all delivered to the saints. The word the faith here is that set of doctrine, that set of truth that we hold to, that was once and for all delivered to the saints. So there's a body of doctrine that Jude says we need to contend earnestly for. And I believe that's what I'm trying to do on this radio program, is to contend earnestly for the faith, the doctrine that's already been delivered to the church. We don't have any new revelations here. We don't have any new doctrines. The old ones are great. The old ones are sufficient. I love what one man said. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. And I believe that's true in relation to the scripture. We have a doctrine that was once and for all delivered to the saints. And we need to continue in that. So our life will be formed by the doctrine that we believe. That's why Paul says that form of doctrine, or literally that mold of doctrine, into which you were delivered. And again, in relation to sanctification, Romans 6 tells us that we are free from the power of sin. We're united with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We came out of that grave, a brand new creation. All the old things have passed away. We came out with a new nature. We didn't come out with something added to us. Something died. The old man was crucified. We came out a brand new creation in Christ. And now we have the freedom for the first time in our life to live a life of holiness, to live a life of righteousness. Not a perfection, not a life of free without ever sinning, but a life that's moving in the direction of obedience and righteousness to Jesus Christ. That's what we need to hold on to. That's the doctrine that Paul's delivering these people into that's going to form and fashion their life. And so that's why doctrine is crucial. What you believe affects the way that you live. I encourage you to read through Romans chapter 6. Let the word of God speak to your heart. Affirm these truths to be true, because that's what Paul says in verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon or affirm, believe, consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord help us in understanding proper doctrine so that we could have a proper lifestyle that's pleasing to Him.